The reading this morning is taken from Philippians chapter 3, beginning at verse 1, and can be found on page 1180 of the Church Bibles. Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. It is no trouble for me to write the same things to you again, and it is a safeguard for you. Watch out for those dogs, those men who do evil, those mutilators of the flesh. For it is we who are the circumcision, we who worship by the Spirit of God, who glory in Christ Jesus, and who put no confidence in the flesh, though I myself have reasons for such confidence. If anyone else thinks he has reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church. As for legalistic righteousness, faultless. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already attained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, let me pray as we look into that great passage. Heavenly Father, we pray that as we begin this new year, we might begin by hearing your voice speak to us. We pray that your voice would speak to us clearly, and we would have ears to listen and hearts to respond, for your name's sake. Amen. Well, it is the time of year when we get to think about New Year's resolutions. I don't know if that's something you put a lot of thought into, whether that's something you do every year, or whether it sort of slipped by the wayside a little bit this year. Interestingly, according to research, only about a third of people actually make New Year's resolutions for the coming year. I kind of assume that most people think about it, but apparently it's only about a third or so of people. So I don't know, about kind of a third of us maybe have already made New Year's resolutions, and I wonder how many of them have stuck to it. How many of our resolutions are broken within a few days? What is it, the 5th of January now? So it's plenty of opportunity to break those resolutions. And it's interesting to think about the kind of resolutions that people make, that we often make. It's fascinating to see what comes through as you look at polls of the kind of top 10 New Year's resolutions. Number 7, apparently, is to give up smoking. Number 6 is to learn something new. Number 5, to eat better. Number 3, to spend less. But it's probably no surprise to find out what number 1 is on the list of top 10 New Year's resolutions, which is, of course, to lose weight. Something that I need to do. I don't know about anyone else, so I'm going to put my hands up to that one. And of course, the problem with New Year's resolutions is that we're just not very good at keeping them, are we? I mean, that's the problem. Is we know that it's quite a good thing to kick off the new year with a resolution to do something differently. But we know that within a few days, a few weeks, if we're lucky, a few months, we will have fallen in some way and failed to keep our resolution. You go to the gym on January the 1st, and you find it's packed full of people who have decided that this is going to be the year where I'm going to get more exercise and I'm going to work out. But But I wonder if January the 31st is quite as busy in the gym as January the 1st. We all have these great ideas of what we would like to do, but we often don't find we have the ability to follow through on it. One quarter of people, apparently, have broken their New Year's resolution by the end of the first week. 40% 1 month in, and most people have broken their New Year's resolution in some way before the year is out. And there could be lots of reasons for that. I'm not going to kind of go into all the different reasons that we might fall at breaking at our New Year's resolutions, but ultimately, one of the reasons is we make unrealistic expectations of what we can achieve by our own power and effort and willpower. And because of all that, we set ourselves up often to fail. One of the people I was reading recently said that we probably should make goals rather than resolutions for the new year, because that sets more of a kind of destination of where we're heading than a list of things that we hope we won't fall over in our resolutions. That's probably a helpful way to do it. But whether you think about it as goals, or whether you think about it as resolutions, what is actually going to be our aim for the year? One of the great things about a goal rather than a resolution is because it tackles something about our desires. What do we want out of this year? Where do we want to be at the end of the year? Maybe physically, but perhaps more sort of emotionally, spiritually. What is it that we want to achieve throughout this coming year? And that is a good question for us to think about. What is our goal for this year? And I think this passage from Philippians chapter 3, which has so much in it and so much richness to it, I think it has a great answer for what our New Year's resolution should be, what our aim for the year, what our goal for the year should be. And it is very simple. It is to know Christ. It is to know Christ. That is what the Apostle Paul says here in verse 10. He says, I want to know Christ. If you want a motto for the year, frankly, a motto for life, that is a pretty good one to have. I want to know Christ. And that might seem, on the surface, to be a very simplistic objective, to know Christ. I mean, after all, this is Paul who's speaking. Paul, who met Christ dramatically on the road to Damascus, who encountered the risen Christ in a way that many of us will never do. Here is someone who could say, surely, more than many other people, I know Christ. I already have met him. I've encountered him. I know him. Surely, if anyone could say that, Paul could say that. And that is true, but Paul doesn't want to stop there. He doesn't want just to say, well, I've met Christ, and that's it. That's great. Isn't it lovely? He wants to say, I know Christ already, and I want to know him more. Paul is not willing to sit back and say, well, you know, okay, I've got to know Jesus a bit, and that's great. We probably worked that out as much as we can, so let's just sit back and relax and not worry about that too much. Paul wants to know Christ, one, not just as a one-time event, but as a growing relationship over time. You could consider it a little bit like a marriage. I knew a lot about Louise on the day that we got married, but I can tell you that I know more about her now, and I'm sure she would say that she knows more about me as well after a long time of marriage, over 20 years. And so that doesn't mean also that I can sit back and relax and say, I know everything there is to know about my wife. That would be a very foolish thing to say. There is still more that we have to learn about each other. We are complicated people. And if that is true of us, surely it is more true of knowing Jesus Christ. Yes, we want to meet Christ. We want to encounter Christ. But we want to keep getting to know him, deepening our knowledge of him. And that is what Paul wants above all else. He knew that knowing Jesus is far better than focusing on all the things that he could achieve by himself or through his own efforts. In fact, what he says is, look, all the things that I could list of the things that I achieve by myself, and he does so in verses 4 to 6, all those things are frankly worthless. Now, Paul has a lot of credentials to his name. He lists them all for us, and I don't need to go through them, but he says, look, I am as good as you can get when it comes to Jewish pedigree, when it comes to religious action, when it comes to education, when it comes to looking respectable. I've got everything. I am sure that Paul would still be at the gym on January the 31st. He'd keep going with his resolutions. And what Paul is saying is, look, I have a whole host of credentials that I could give you, but they shouldn't impress you at all. Because actually, compared to knowing Jesus, they are worthless. In fact, they're less than worthless. That our lovely English translation covers up the fact that he says that they are garbage, or more literally, dung. They're as smelly and disgusting as you can imagine. Paul says, look, I'm not interested in what I can achieve, my resolutions, my abilities to achieve something. What I want more than anything else is to know Christ. That is what is of surpassing worth. And if that was true for Paul in AD 60 or so when he was writing this letter, it is still true for us in 2020. It is still the most worthwhile thing that we can aim for this year and any year is to know Christ better. And that will help us with some of those things that we would want to work on in our lives. So take reading the Bible more, for instance. I don't know if that is a resolution that you've had this year. It's a great resolution to have in many ways. And many of us maybe will have kind of researched and come up with a reading plan for the year. So we're going to read the whole Bible in a year, and we're going to start here. Maybe we've got a nice shiny book of readings that we've got on our shelf that we can use. We're all ready. We're all set to go January the 1st. It's January the 5th. I hope you're still going if that's your resolution. But the problem is that life gets in the way, doesn't it? Life gets busy. So what happens when things go wrong? When you miss a day, as you inevitably will, well, I certainly would, because my self-discipline is very bad. If we miss a day, what will happen? You see, if we make simply doing the achievement of reading the Bible every day, of getting through the Bible in a whole year as our aim, then we will get incredibly disappointed and we will feel that we've failed and we will give up. But if our aim is actually not so that we can tick that box and say, I've read the Bible in a year, if our aim is instead to know Jesus, then it doesn't matter if we've missed a week or a day or we're out of sync or if we finish the year in sometime in October. It doesn't matter because our aim is not to say, hey, look at what I've achieved. Our aim is to know Jesus better. That is Paul's aim. That ought to be our aim too, to know Jesus better. And alongside this resolution to know Jesus comes an action. There is an action for us to do, and that is to press on. This is what Paul says towards the end of that passage in verses 13 and 14. He says, one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal. See, Paul knows how to keep a New Year's resolution. First of all, he gets his aim right, to know Christ. That is the most worthwhile resolution. And then second, he isn't overambitious. He picks one thing to do. One thing, he says, one thing I do, and that one thing is to press on. In fact, he says it twice. He says it in verse 12. I press on to take that, to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. And then again in verse 14, he says, I press on towards the goal, to know Christ. You see, if our aim is to know Jesus better, then our action is to press on towards that goal, towards that aim. And it has that sense of a deliberate pursuit of a goal and something we go after with energy and enthusiasm, with activity, something that is intentional. I think it's helpful for us to remember at the start of a new year that none of us ever sort of drift into godliness. You know how that kind of happens? You kind of think, you see a boat going down a river and you just think, oh, wouldn't it be lovely if I just sat in the boat and it would just drift all the way down to my destination. Sometimes it's tempting to think that that's how we go about the Christian life. It's like, I just sit here and I sort of drift and eventually I become more godly. And it would be lovely if that was the case. But it actually involves our action. It involves our energy. It involves our enthusiasm. We don't drift into knowing Jesus better. We pursue it. It's something we're intentional about. It's something we desire and go after. And that is what Paul is encouraging us to do. He says, look, if your resolution is to know Jesus better, then are you willing to press on after that? Are you willing to put in some effort? Are we willing to get involved? And he tells us two ways we can do that. The first is to forget what is behind. That's what Paul said here. One thing I do, forgetting what is behind. Forgetting what is behind. Now, I don't know about whether you think 2019 was a really good year or a year that you really couldn't wait to see the back of. Sometimes we can find it very easy to forget what is behind, and we quite like to get rid of that particular memory or that particular year. And there's probably plenty, whatever we think about the last year, there's probably plenty that we would like to forget about. Forgetting what is behind seems a very reasonable thing to do at the start of a new year. But one is what Paul is particularly talking about here is not bad memories, though it's great to be able to sort of put those out of our minds, but he's talking about where his confidence is. He's talking about what he has done instead of what Christ has done. You see, he's looking back and saying, look, I've got all these credentials, all these things that seem good in my eyes and in the world's eyes, but I'm going to forget all that. Forget what is behind and press on towards that goal of knowing Jesus better. See, just as we don't drift into godliness, nor do we coast as Christians, we can't look back and think, well, you know what, 2019 was a pretty good year. Yeah, I did read the Bible in a year. And I went to prayer space a few times. And I did this and I did that. And I had a really good year in 2019. So you know what? I think I can just kick back and relax in 2020. My spiritual life is at a pretty good place. Let's just relax and not really worry too much about it. But Paul says, look, forget what is behind and press on to what is ahead. Don't feel that you can sit on your laurels, but actually look at what you want to achieve this year. Look at what you want God to be able to do in your life this year. Forget what happened last year. Press on to what is ahead. And that is what he says next. He says, straining towards what is ahead. So if our aim, our resolution is to know Jesus better, then we want to forget what is behind, and we want to strain towards what is ahead. We want to look ahead to what God is going to do in our lives. But we don't look ahead passively or disengaged. Instead, Paul gives us this idea of straining towards what is ahead. So Paul doesn't seem to have a problem with the fact that he is completely convinced it's all to do with what God has done. It's not to do with his credentials or his actions or his abilities, is what God has done. And yet, at the same time, Paul says, because it's all about what God has done, I'm all in. I'm fully committed. I'm going to give every ounce of effort I have. See, some people say, look, if you think it's all to do with what God has done, then surely you just sort of relax and don't do anything. But Paul doesn't see it that way. He says, look, if I know it's to do with what God has done, and we celebrate it around the communion table, then I am all in. I'm going to give every ounce of effort that I have to pursuing this goal. He says, I'm straining towards what is ahead. And that idea of straining is the idea of an athlete vigorously pursuing the finishing line. So you might cast your mind back to the Olympics, the last Olympic Games, which was in Rio, wasn't it? And Usain Bolt had the 100 meters race, and this was a classic picture of Usain Bolt, that he was so far ahead that he could turn around and grin at the camera as he was running. I mean, it's sort of far away from the idea of straining towards what is ahead, isn't it? It sort of feels like just sort of going for a nice stroll and just sort of acting up for the camera. Now, you know, for all his theatrics, Usain Bolt puts a lot of training in and actually puts a lot more effort than he gives the impression of being. But the trouble is that we can think a little bit like, that's our year. So our aim is to know Christ, that's the finishing line, and I'm just going to go out for a stroll and just sort of have a nice time. But what Paul is saying here is that our attitude is perhaps more like a different athlete from the Rio Olympics. Back in Rio, the women's 400 meters was won rather controversially by Shaunae Miller, and I may not be pronouncing that right. Shaunae, I think, is how you pronounce it, from the Bahamas. And she, unlike Bolt, who was way ahead, she was under real pressure as she came towards the finishing line. And so what she did, she threw her entire body towards the line as she got to it. She dived to finish and indeed win the race. Now, there is some discussion, I can't remember all the details, but there's certainly some discussion about how fair that was and whether that fitted in the rules. But one thing is clear, if you look at the sort of front shots, she is utterly committed to winning that race. Whether or not throwing her entire body forward was fully within the rules or not, that was something that she wanted. That is the picture of straining towards the goal, isn't it? Everything committed to that one goal of getting across the line. And she probably strained a number of other things as she threw herself across the line as well. And I think this is what Paul wants to leave us with for this coming year. He wants to encourage us to know Christ. Now, maybe you're here and you would say, actually, I don't know Jesus at all. I'm here because I'm interested. In which case, we'd love you to come, for instance, on the Alpha course, because that's a great way to think about knowing Christ. But if that's you, why not make your aim this year to find out about Jesus, to investigate? But I guess for many of us here, we would say, yeah, I know Jesus. I've known Jesus perhaps for many years. But will our aim for this year be to know him better? To know him better at the end of the year than when we started it? And are we willing to pursue that goal with every ounce of effort that God gives us? We can't claim that as something we've achieved. Anything we've been given comes from God. But will we pursue that goal, that aim, that resolution with all that we have? Let me pray that God would give us the strength to do that. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have done all that we need to know you in sending your Son to die on a cross and to rise again. And we pray that you would help each one of us here to know you better, to deepen our relationship with you. And we pray that you would help us to put all that we are and all that we can do into that effort, into that goal. For your name's sake, amen.